In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is, we don't talk nearly enough.
Lions. What's the talk into tea?
A big part of child development is imagination. Children at play can invent all sorts of scenarios and live within them. But it seems as if bonobo monkeys can do the same thing. Amalia Bastos is a lecturer in comparative psychology at the University of St Andrews in Scotland. Amalia, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Simon. Thank you for having me.
Tell us, there was one particular monkey that you chose to work with. Why was that?
Yes. So we worked with Kanzi, who was a bonobo. He was a really, really special ape. And the reason for that is that he was raised in a very unusual environment, in a human environment. And so he was not only very familiar with things that exist in human households, but he also understood a lot of verbal prompts. So he actually recognized 200 to 300 English words. And if you asked him to do something, like take the cup to the table, he actually understood what that meant and would do that action for you.
Okay. And before you underwent this test, had it been speculated that bonobos could use imaginative play?
So up to this point, we had sort of anecdotal observations that this might be the case. So we saw both in captivity and in the wild that apes, including bonobos, but also chimpanzees, might do something that looks like pretending. For example, chimpanzee females in the wild, they sometimes carry sticks around as if they're babies, and we call these log dolls in the literature. But because they're just one-off observations, it's really hard to know what's going on inside their minds, and this hadn't been empirically tested before.
Yeah, very difficult, though, I would imagine, to establish what's going on inside somebody's mind.
Yeah, that is the main challenge of this field of animal cognition, is trying to understand why animals do what they do and how they're doing it. What sort of cognitive processes, right? What sort of psychology is actually going on in their brains?
Yeah. So how did you go about trying to establish that?
So because Kanzi has sort of this, you know, had this understanding of words and verbal prompts, we sort of hedged our bets by picking him. And the reason for that is that we can test him in a very similar way to the way we can test children. And so there was a study in the 1980s that first showed that children are able to pretend. And in that study, they had a pretend tea party scenario where they would pretend to pour tea into empty cups and then ask the child which cup the tea was in. And so we basically were able to replicate that with Kanzi because we could also ask him questions in English, such as, where is the juice? Rather than tea, because he really didn't like tea very much. He was more of a juice kind of bonobo.
Okay. And what were the results of that? That was it in every case? The majority of cases, he kind of played along.
Yeah. So what we did was we presented him with multiple repetitions of this, where we poured pretend juice into two cups and then poured back out of one. And we asked him where the juice was. And he didn't get it right every single time, because actually this is a very complicated question. But he did do better than we'd expect if he were just guessing out of chance. So,
OK, is it possible, though, to establish what his motives were for guessing that way most of the time?
Yeah, so there's a few different possibilities, right? So we were at first concerned that maybe he was just confused and he thought there was real juice in the cups. And so we ran an additional experiment where we sort of pitted, you know, real juice directly against pretend juice. And this time we changed the question. So instead of asking him, where is the juice? We asked him, which one do you want? And now Kanzi showed us that he could distinguish between the two things. And so it was the case that he was imagining along in the first experiment.
OK, because you'd think that in the majority of cases, when you said, which one do you want? He'd want the real juice.
Right. Exactly. And so when the question changes, you know, he can tell real from pretend. But when we're just presenting pretend juices and we ask him where the juice is, he will show us where the imaginary juice is that isn't actually there. So he's pretending along with a human.
And now, by pretending along, though, was there any reward in it for him?
No, so that's actually really important. We never rewarded him at any point. And that was to ensure that we weren't inadvertently training him to respond some way or another. He was just voluntarily participating in this game over and over and over again and showing us where the imaginary juice was. But whether he got it right or wrong, he never got any feedback from us, never got any food rewards, nothing.
Okay, yeah. But even to the, I mean, if he didn't get any rewards, but may there be an element of I want to please Amalia when she asked me these questions?
I think that although it's possible, bonobos are not like, you know, dogs that always want to please humans. And actually, they're strongly opinionated about what they want and don't want to do. At one point, Kanzi spat on me for a different experiment that he wasn't very happy about. So I don't think that that would have been the reason why he performed as he did.
Yeah. Now I suppose the curious thing about that, well, Kanzi is now sadly dead, but he was, if you like, an adult, whereas it's children who play, and for whatever reason, adult humans stop doing that. Perhaps it's just socialized out of us. Is there evidence that bonobos just play all the time?
There are suggestions that bonobos play as infants as well. So we know that there are sort of anecdotes of juveniles engaging in ways that look like they might be pretend playing. And certainly playing without pretending is common. I think, you know, adult humans play as well, especially if there's kids involved, right? So we might join in with a child if they're playing. And so it's not that we lose the ability. It's just that life demands so many other things of us that we sort of don't have time to do it anymore after a certain point.
Yeah. No, but and also at the same time, you know, if kids, say, are playing in a tea party scenario, there's usually a kind of a structure to that, that you know, the one child is saying, I'm the mother and you're a visiting priest and I'm going to pour you some tea. You know, but presumably for Kanzi, it can't be as complex as that.
No. So all we've been able to show is that when we scaffold the scenario for him, so we tell him, Kanzi, let's play a game, let's find the juice, and then we pour this imaginary juice, he can track where the juice is going. And when we ask him where it is, he can point to the correct cup. He did not, you know, pretend that he was a visitor to someone's house or anything like that. It's definitely the case that children have a much more complex capacity for pretense than apes do.
Yeah, but would you suspect that he was enjoying, you know, he was enjoying playing the same way humans enjoy playing?
It looked to us like he was, because, you know, he was not rewarded, and he could have learned over multiple trials that every time we say, Kanzi, let's play a game, you know, let's find the Jews, he knew that no reward was going to follow from that. And so if he wanted to, he could have just upped and left. You know, it was completely voluntary research. He could have just left us. But the fact that he continued to engage over and over and over again suggests to me that actually he enjoyed it and he was quite keen to do the research.
So he was a bonobo. Could you infer from this that many apes might be able to engage in imaginative play?
So I think that because the anecdotal observations are not restricted to bonobos, right? So we see even chimpanzee females in the wild carrying these sticks as if they're babies. It might be the case that this extends beyond bonobos. Either way, it certainly extends to the common ancestor between humans and bonobos, which would have lived 6 to 9 million years ago.
Amalia, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Amalia Bastos there, lecturer in comparative psychology at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. That